ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वदी साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणि निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं। So last time we saw the verses 25 and 26 which tell us the way to reach the supreme reality, because Kshetradnya was explained and the goal has been explained, but we need to know how to get there, otherwise what is the point of that goal? And therefore Bhagwan in 25 starts off with three methods which are generally for the three levels of students. So the one who is very highly qualified, and high qualification in Vedanta or spiritual evolution is the purity, level of purity of the mind. It has got nothing to do with intelligence or degrees or education, nothing like that. It is the purified mind. The more the mind is purified, the more qualified you are for spiritual studies. That is the deal there. So he starts off with dhyana. One of the methods is meditation. And I told you meditation is a withdrawal of the sense organs into the mind. And then when the mind is focused on one and one thought alone, Vedantic meditation is the focusing of the mind on only one thought, and that is Aham Brahmasmi. So I am that, or I am Brahman, that is the only thought. When that mind is focused on that thought, and a highly, highly quieted mind. Remember that the mind is pure consciousness plus thoughts. So mind equals, it's a mathematical equation. Mind equals PC, pure consciousness plus thought. So mind minus thought equals PC, pure consciousness. So the more you reduce the thought flow in your mind, the more you will start experiencing that supreme consciousness within. Okay, it is not something that you have to attain from anywhere. It is already there in you, but we can't see it because of the clutter of thoughts. And that's all we are doing in meditation. But it's like that's all means it requires a very, very, very quiet mind. And the mind being very extroverted for births and births, it's difficult to make it introverted. So there were people who said that's too difficult. So Bhagwan said, okay, no problem. If you can't do that, then please follow Sankhya Yoga. And Sankhya Yoga is the yoga of discrimination. And what is the discrimination that you have to do, or we have to do, is at every moment in our day, we must remember the difference between Prakriti and Purusha. So whatever modifications are happening in the world, whatever modifications are happening in our body, mind, and intellect, if we keep reminding ourselves that this is Prakriti, this what is modifying is Prakriti. I can see it. I am not the seen. I am the seer. So if we can do that, then also we will reach, because the constantly with every experience, we're going to say, no, I'm not this. I'm the seer. I'm not this. I'm the seer. Kshetradnya, you will reach the Kshetradnya. And then there were people who said, no, that is also very difficult. We don't know. Then Bhagwan said, okay, you do Karma Yoga. So you are very much into karma. We all are. 90% of the people are mainly rajasic, no problem. So every action that you do, because throughout the day you're doing actions, you do it with a sense of duty, a sense of surrender, a sense of detachment with prasada buddhi. So if you do it with these attitudes, every action becomes karma yoga. And every action which we do as a karma yoga is purifying us. And then what happens is we become qualified for the discrimination. And when we start discrimination, saying I'm not this, the mind will automatically withdraw and we'll reach the state of meditation. We'll be qualified to do meditation. And then Bhagwan said, if none of this you can do, just have faith in your guru. If your guru has told you you are that, then you are that. And then you don't need anything else. But this also requires, and of course, Gurudev has written that this is for the most basic, but you know, faith, extremely difficult to get that sort of strong faith. We don't have enough faith. We actually have faith in the world because we are going after the world. We want happiness and we go after the world because our faith is in the world, that the world is going to give me happiness. And when the spiritual guru is telling us that, no, you are the source of happiness. Why don't you go within us? We don't have enough faith. So that's why we don't go there. So if you have strong faith, then that can take you as well. And I gave you the example of Nisargadatt Maharaj, who realized just on the basis of faith. Now we are on verse 27, and I explained it in an extremely simple fashion, but the verse is extremely deep. So I left you with just one thought. What Bhagwan is saying here is that the unmoving or the moving, know thou, it is from the union between the field and the knower of the field. Sanyoga, samyak yoga, very well joined. And what is joined is kshetra and kshetradnya. And because of this joining, this creation has happened. That is the simple meaning of this verse. And I gave you a very simple explanation, electricity and range. Unless there is electricity and unless there is a range, food cannot be cooked, water cannot be boiled, whatever. Most simple. All right. Now let us see how exactly it is happening in our case. That was an example. So it's very simple to understand that. But the question that should arise in our mind is that, considering that we are comparing electricity with consciousness and the range is, say, prakriti, then is the pure consciousness directly allowing prakriti to create? That's the first question that should come. Because if we say, like electricity, we say electricity is directly allowing the range to cook, so consciousness is directly allowing prakriti to create, then the statement of Shruti, which says consciousness is the non-doer, gets negated. And therefore, in our case, we cannot say that consciousness is directly asking prakriti to create or allowing prakriti to create. Everybody with me so far? Good. So then I want to take you to India and give you an example from India before I go further in this. Is in India, we have electricity, but when you plug in your phone or your iPad, there is a switch that you have to turn on. Everybody remembers this? You can't just, here we just plug in and the phone starts charging. But in India, when you just plug in and you just leave it like that, and after a while, it's not charging. Why? Because you have not turned the switch on. So in our case, it is the same thing. What is happening is there is consciousness, which is the electricity, but there is a switch in between, and that switch is Ishvara. That Ishvara is the one who is endowed with prakriti. How is he endowed with prakriti? How is Ishvara endowed with prakriti? I'm saying he, but Ishvara has no gender, please. But just for ease, I can't keep saying he slash she slash it. So Ishvara, when this prakriti or maya is the inherent power of the Lord. Okay, inherent power. I have talked about power. There is me, and then I have the power of speech. and I have the power of seeing, etc., etc. Now, at 6:30, before 6:30, when the chanting was going on, Jaya was sitting here. No powers had been invoked, right? Jaya was just sitting here. At 6:30, Jaya invoked her power of speech, and now Jaya is speaking. So at 6:30, Jaya became a speaker. Until then, she was only Jaya. Same way. Consciousness, when this power is invoked, he becomes Ishwara. Everybody with me? All right. Okay. Step by step we go. We're going to go deeper and deeper. So like in India, electricity is there, but unless I turn the switch on, so unless there is Ishwara, creation cannot happen because consciousness is the non-doer. Consciousness is not doing anything. But that power within the consciousness, it is invoked. Now, when and why it is invoked, if you want to know all that, I will tell you the details there also. But right now, just stay with this thought. It is known as Ishwara. Just like when I invoked my power of speech, I became a speaker before I was only Jaya. Same way, pure consciousness is only pure consciousness. But when this power is invoked, it becomes Ishwara. Ishwara then, out of his own free will, nobody is telling Ishwara anything, out of his own free will, allows Prakriti to go and create. And what is Prakriti? We have already seen. Prakriti is a mixture of sattva, rajas, and tamas, the three gunas. And when these gunas interact with each other, modification happens. Modification cannot happen in consciousness. There is no modification in consciousness. But in Prakriti, because of the gunas, modification is possible. And because the modification is possible, Prakriti can create. And Prakriti only creates Kshetra. Prakriti cannot create Kshetradnya. Why? Because Kshetradnya is beginningless, is not born, is not created. So Kshetradnya is never created. But in the presence of Kshetradnya, remember, with the permission of Ishwara, Prakriti can create. Prakriti cannot create without the permission of Ishwara. Until I turn the switch on, that phone is not getting charged. And turning the switch on is permission of Ishwara. So that switch is giving permission for the electricity to flow through into the phone, and the phone is getting charged. Same way, consciousness is there. Ishwara is there, endowed with consciousness as well as the power. And now Ishwara is allowing Prakriti to go and create. Prakriti is creating all the objects. All the inert matter in this world is created by Prakriti. And when we say Prakriti creates Kshetra, it includes this body as well, because the body is inert. Don't think that the body has got sentient. It's not sentient. It is inert. So along with all the objects in the world, all the bodies also are created by Prakriti. Those who have come to the Vivek Churamani class, they know how that gross elements are becoming, subtle elements are becoming gross. That is how the bodies are also created by Prakriti. Now, all this inert world is there. It's like, okay, see, Cineplex theater, the movie is going on, but there is not a single person sitting in the theater. What good is that movie? Who is that movie for? Nobody's there to enjoy the movie. Then what is the point of projecting the movie on the screen? So now this whole entire world is there, but there is nobody to experience, to enjoy. So then Ishwara said, okay, there is nobody. Now let me only enter into the jivas. And Ishwara, as though, enters into the bodies, not into the jiva, sorry, enters into the body and identifies with the body. And when Ishwara identifies with the body, he's known as jiva. And as a jiva, who is actually who? Ishwara only. Who is Ishwara? Pure consciousness. Okay? This is how this hierarchy is. So Ishwara, allowing Prakriti, has gotten this inert world ready, created, okay? and is supporting the inert world as existence. You guys with me? That's why I experience the inert world as is. Computer is, this is, that is, etc., etc. Body is. So that isness is coming from Ishvara. And the form is coming from Prakriti. So computer is Prakriti and the electricity is Ishvara. And now the computer is alive. And the computer can see and the computer can talk, whatever. All right. Ishvara himself enters the bodies and becomes consciousness. So Ishvara, objective world, supported as existence. Ishvara only is doing it. There is nobody else. There is nobody else. There's nothing else. There's not two entities. There's only one. There's Advaita. And Ishvara himself is entering the bodies and becoming consciousness. And therefore that Jiva is now conscious, enjoying this inert world that is created by Prakriti by the permission of Ishvara only. So everything is Ishvara only. Because without Ishvara's permission, Prakriti cannot create. Prakriti created the inert world. But without permission, can't. So Ishvara. And then who is going to enjoy? Ishvara only went. He only identified with the bodies. He only became the bhokta. He only became the karta. That's why I say, I do, I enjoy, I will do this, then I will enjoy that. I will do this, I will do that. And this is the sanyoga. This is the union that is happening. Is everybody with me so far? All right. Any questions so far?
Jaiji.
Yes.
Jaiji, when you say union, you have to have two.
Yeah.
But there's only one.
Yes. That is the next step.
Okay. My question is that somewhere, I do not know which sloka it was, you said that consciousness is at the same time is not.
Sorry, consciousness is what?
Consciousness is and at the same time it is not.
Sat what and is, asat.
Sat and asat, yes.
It's consciousness is both sat and asat at the same time. Yes. Asat, because the inert world is asat.
Okay.
And how did the inert world come about?
Yeah. So in this case, isn't it dualism then?
No. Now we'll go further. We are going in levels. Okay. So shall I go further now?
Okay.
I'm going to go further. Now, Abhimanyu's question. That is a question. See, sanyoga, union, correct. Union happens between two things. But one answer to that question is, kshetra that has been created is created only because of Ishvara. So that way there is no duality, but let's still go further. Okay. Now when two things have to merge or mix or unite, see, there is water and there is milk. Both liquids, both can mix, no problem, right? Liquid, liquid, no problem mixing. If there is a liquid and a solid, so if there is a stone or a piece of wood, can there be a sanyoga between the solid and the liquid?
No.
There can't. Why? Because their natures are different. Water is liquid by nature, and a log of wood or a piece of stone is solid. Milk is liquid, water is liquid, sure, union can happen. But when the natures are different, and that is the question, that the kshetra is inert and the kshetrajna is conscious, the natures are different, how can there be the union? That is the question. That's why now we go even deeper. Okay, so in the beginning stages, if we look at creation in this world, and our most common example, the pot maker and the pot. Okay, so there is the efficient cause, which is the pot maker. And then there is the clay, which is the material. And then the pot maker takes the clay and makes a pot. In this case, the pot is created, but the material is different, clay, and the pot maker is different. He is totally different. So there are these two things. Okay. Now, in the case of creation, if we say that there is an efficient cause, say Ishvara, then is there some material other than Ishvara there? It can't be. It can't be. That is why in the case of creation, we say the efficient cause and the material cause are one and the same. And that is why the definition of Ishvara is Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karana. Abhinna, not different. Bhinna is different. Abhinna, opposite of different, means same, means one. So Abhinna, Nimitta, efficient cause. Upadana, material cause. Abhinna, Nimitta, Upadana, Karana, cause. And that is what Ishvara is. So in the case of creation, there are not two things. And let me explain that. Do you think that Jaya and the power of speech are two different things? If they were different, you know what I would have done? I would have been watching Jaya would have been watching TV, and my power of speech can just go and give lecture. So can you say that the power of speech and Jaya are different? So Ishvara's power, which is Prakriti, is it different from Ishvara? It can't be. If you say it is different, you are creating duality. Right? But there is no duality. Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karana. Now, next step. So if there is no duality, that means what? No duality means what? Means both cannot be real. Right? When do I say computer is and then the stapler is. So there are two different things and they are different from each other. And the computer also is existing and the stapler is also existing. Now, if I say this Ishvara is different and Prakriti is different, there are two different things. Or if I say there is Ishvara and there is this creation, which is also real, then there is a real creation and a real Ishvara. How can there be two things? That's Dvaita. That means what is happening is creation is also limited and Ishvara also is becoming limited because Ishvara is here and then creation is over here. Both are real. Can't. So how do you explain this? And this is where we bring in our favorite example, rope and snake. We cannot live without rope and snake. Advaita Vedanta cannot be explained without rope and snake. So what is actually happening is one thing first to understand is that please remember that only because of Ishvara's permission, Prakriti has created, and the creation is nothing but existence alone. That is why we have the story, not story, a thing that real thing that happened when a foreigner or somebody went to Sandipani in Mumbai and Gurudev was there and he wanted to know what kind of tree it was. Means what he meant was, is it a mango tree or a whatever tree? So he asked Gurudev, what tree is this? And Gurudev replied, it is existence in the form of a tree. That is the vision. So that existence is nothing but coming from consciousness. Consciousness is Sat and Chit. So therefore, this creation is there, but it is not really real. And the way this happens is this Ishvara, I told you, Ishvara is present in the creation as existence. Okay, Ishvara only. And Ishvara only is entering the body and acting as the conscious principle who is enjoying this inert world. Now, how does this Ishvara identify with the body? What is happening is Anonya Adhyas, it is called mutual superimposition. The way this mutual superimposition happens is that Ishvara has as though entered the body. And that's why I told you, Eva as though is a very important word in Vedanta because it has really not entered. Why? Because there is really no body. But problem is, I see the body. I see my own body and I see others' bodies. So that's why I question, where did the body come from? I see the creation. From the standpoint of pure consciousness, there is no creation. Please understand. But in the state of ignorance, because I see this creation and because I give reality to it, and I know that I'm not the creator, I question the creator. I question who created this creation. When Ishwara enters the body, Ishwara has got consciousness. Ishwara has no form. Ishwara has no gender. Ishwara has no degree. Ishwara has no profession, nothing. Ishwara only has consciousness, formless consciousness. Now, it has entered a form, right? The body has a form. So Ishwara lends its consciousness to the body, because of which the body appears to be talking, appears to be doing, appears to be seeing, appears to be hearing. All right? And the body in turn is giving its shape, its size, its weight. Ishwara has no weight. Its weight to Ishwara. And because of that, this Ishwara identifying with the body now is known as Jiva. And the Jiva says, I am male, female. I am 5'4". I am an engineer, doctor, professional, software, whatever. I am happy, sad. I am intelligent, dull. Are you getting this point? I hear two heads nodding. Sudha, you should be Chitra. You should get it. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Getting good. Good. Do you understand? Mutual. Gurudev has written mutual superimposition over here. He has given. He has not given the lower stages. Why? Because he expects that the one who has come to chapter 13 has studied up to chapter 12, has studied Vivek Churamani, has studied Atma Bodh, Tattva Bodh, etc., etc. So he has straight gone into mutual superimposition. I didn't. If I just go straight into mutual superimposition, some people might not just get it, especially those who have come first into chapter 13. So that's why for those people, these are levels. As we go into higher Vedanta, this is what we start analyzing. So at the first stage, even this, the simplest way of saying electricity and range. Without electricity and without range, no food can be cooked. Without Prakriti and without pure consciousness, no creation can happen. Stage number one. Okay, then as we study more and then we become more familiar with the statement, consciousness is the non-doer, consciousness doesn't modify. Then you're like, huh, wait a minute. How then consciousness told Prakriti to create and how come consciousness is the non-doer? So we introduce Ishwara. Ishwara also is a concept. Please remember, Ishwara is not real. Jiva is not real.
That's what I was going to ask. It's just a name given to represent consciousness when it's identified with what we call a body. Because all this is illusory, according to.
Yeah, but it's not when we are identified with the body. Ishwara is called as Jiva.
It's
not Ishwara anymore.
It's just names given to consciousness.
Correct. Just like Jaya became the speaker, Jaya the speaker only when the power was invoked of speaking. Otherwise, Jaya is not the speaker. And Jaya and the power of speech can never be different, can never be separated, can never. It began with her birth and it will end at her death. And so, same way with Prakriti, it's beginningless. Because God is beginning, consciousness is beginningless. So consciousness, power, then we bring in the concept of Ishwara. So we say that there is this Ishwara who is endowed with the power of Prakriti. Prakriti has got sattva, rajas, tamas, and Prakriti creates with the permission of Ishwara. So Kshetra is created, but there has to be somebody to enjoy that Kshetra. So who will come? There can't be some other entity coming in and entering the body. So Ishwara only enters himself. And he identifying, that's where that discrimination has to come. That when I identify and I say, I am sad, that's where the discrimination has come. No, my mind is sad. I cannot be sad. If I can separate myself at every stage, so my body is paining. Okay, body is paining. I cannot have any pain. Body has got disease. I cannot have any disease. Then I am reducing the influence of the jivatma, jiva bhava. That influence of jiva bhava is reducing. And we are going more towards Ishvara. In technical terms, Ishvara in our body is called as kutastha. That's a technical term. But Ishvara, you can just keep it at Ishvara. So Ishvara, consciousness alone is Ishvara plus Prakriti. Ishvara alone is supporting the external world, the objective world as existence. And it alone, Ishvara alone is supporting the internal subjective world as consciousness. And because this consciousness is there, we can experience the world. And now, how is this Ishvara entering? It is, what is happening is mutual superimposition is up. This is the final stage. Superimposition is the final stage in Vedanta. Just as the rope is real and the snake can never be real, even though at that time I was frightened seeing the snake, which was not there. That is also mutual. So this rope is giving its existence to the snake, and the snake is giving its shape to the rope. And now I think snake is existing. The rope is and the snake is. The isness remains the same. Same way, Ishvara has got consciousness. That consciousness is being superimposed on the body, which is actually inert. Body is totally inert. Now the body speaks, body runs, body walks, body talks, body sees. All of a sudden, this is happening. So that consciousness has been borrowed from Ishvara. And then Ishvara also, the form is put onto Ishvara. So Ishvara, who is actually Ishvara, now called as Jiva, becomes male, female, height, weight, color, hair, happy, sad, everything. Now the identification is complete, body, mind, and intellect. And that is Anunya Adhyas, mutual superimposition. Any questions?
So when Jaya invokes the power of speech to become the speaker, the purpose in that case is to give a lecture or to convey information. What would the purpose be of the pure consciousness to invoke that creative power?
Okay, good question. One first thing that you have to understand here, that from the standpoint of pure consciousness, there really isn't any creation. So there's no question of purpose, but we see the creation and we want to know the purpose. The purpose that power is invoked is when the vasanas of all the jivas have matured. At the time of pralaya, okay, let me give you a day-to-day example. You know how we wake up in the morning? Of course, you will say, oh, but I always have my alarm clock on. But we know that there are many of us who can wake up without the alarm, or you can go on sleeping, don't put any alarm. Can you just keep on sleeping 24 hours, 48 hours? No. At some point in time, you'll wake up. Maybe not in the morning, 7, maybe 7 in the evening, but at least you will wake up on your own. Okay. The reason that we wake up from sleep every night is because our vasanas for that day have fructified. Fructified means they matured. So those vasanas have to be now exhausted in that day. And that's why we wake up. And when we go to sleep at night, the vasanas for that day have been fulfilled, have been exhausted, and we go to sleep, deep sleep. And in the morning, we wake up. So same way, during the time of pralaya, which is the final dissolution of this world, when all the vasanas of all the jivas are exhausted, pralaya will happen. Pralaya right now is about 4 lakh years away still. We are in the first quarter of Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga has 432,000 years, human years, mortal years. And we are in the first quarter. So you can imagine how much time is left. So in that much time, all the jivas on this universe, and jivas, when I say jiva, it includes human, animal, bird, reptiles, everything. All their vasanas will get exhausted, and it is as though a giant or a total deep sleep, that is pralaya. It'll all merge back into the supreme consciousness. Okay. Just like when the night is over and now my own individual vasanas are fructifying and therefore I wake up. So there'll be this pralaya for a long period of time. It is Brahmaji's one day and one night. Okay. We study that in chapter 8. So when this total night time of totality is over, when will it be over? When these vasanas start stirring, they're like, oh, we have matured now. It's like our term deposit. Term deposit matures, then we get a call from the bank. You know, your term deposit is matured. Either you take it out or do whatever. That time, this consciousness will invoke Prakriti and it will become Ishwara. And then this thing will happen. But from the standpoint of the robe, there never is a snake. But I see the snake. So I'm asking why the snake is there. So I see the creation and I question the creation. And therefore this story, it is a story that we have to tell.
Jayaji, can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
So from the standpoint of supreme reality, there is no creation, there is no pralaya.
Right? No. How can there be a pralaya? No.
Yeah, there is no. There is no. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
No. Okay. No. Suman, did you have a question?
Yeah, Jayaji, you said that when our vasanas fructify, we get up and we do for that day. So that day's vasanas all exhausted. They are all gone now. That days.
For that days, yes, at night. That's when we fall asleep.
Okay. And if you can explain the nimit part for Ishwara.
Efficient cause, right?
Okay.
So in any creation, the knowledge has to be there, na? Efficient is what? Efficient is knowledge. Now the pot maker, we call him an efficient cause because he has the knowledge of how to create the pot.
Okay.
That is what nimitta is. Nimitta is efficient cause. So, and upadana is material. So, okay, I have the knowledge, but I need the material to create, right? In our case, my knowledge and me and the material are different. But in case of Ishwara, he is only the efficient cause. And Mundak Upanishad gives the example of the spider and the web. The spider is making the web from its own saliva. And then it withdraws that web into its own mouth whenever it wants to, right? So that is the example that Shruti gives. Like that, creation comes out of the supreme reality and goes back into the supreme reality, pralaya.
Okay, thank you.
Deep sleep is individual pralaya, which is happening every night for us.
Jayaji, can I ask a question as well? Mm-hmm. It might be very stupid, but if everything is not there, then what is the purpose of the creation of the world?
Purpose of the creation is the vasanas, not there in the sense it is. So there are two things. One is not there, which is false, like the horns on my head.
Mm-hmm.
But the world is mithya. And what is mithya is like a dream. We dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the time of the dream, that dream appears extremely real. Does it not? Am I not afraid in dream? Am I not happy? Am I not crying? Right? But when I wake up, then I come to know that the dream was never there.
Right.
But never there means it was there at that time, but when I woke up, it ended. That means it was an illusion. So we don't say the world is not there. We say that the world is experienced, but it is not really real. But because it is changing.
Yeah, but what is the point of consciousness creating Prakriti or allowing Prakriti to create the world when none of it, it's all consciousness? So why go to all this work?
But that's what we said, that consciousness is not doing any work. Consciousness is not created only anything. It is our ignorance that we see the creation.
Mm-hmm.
Because of our ignorance of what? Ignorance of my real nature, because I do not know who I really, I am really Ishvara. Mm-hmm. I am really pure consciousness, but I don't see that.
Okay.
I see myself as the enjoyer, the doer and the enjoyer.
Okay, I understand. Okay, thank you.
The karma verse is also going to come, how karmas happen. So we'll talk about that. Any other questions? This is a very deep verse.
So there are, okay.
Actually, okay. You go ahead.
Okay, there are three entities involved. One is Ishvara, and then other one is consciousness, and other one is Prakriti. Prakriti is created, and then Ishvara comes as Jiva too. So Jiva, Ishvara, and Prakriti.
Okay.
Three. And then this Ishvara level, could it be where our Narayanas and Shiva and others come, Indra Vagara? Or is that something different?
No. When you say Shiva, are you talking about the Trinity? Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh?
Trinity, or even we say so many times, Indra and Brahaspati.
And Brahaspati are nowhere.
They are nowhere.
Indra and Brahaspati are just like you and me. Only thing is, Indra is the king of the heavens. And I can call myself the queen of my own house. There's no difference between me and Indra. Indra is also afraid of losing his position. Yes. And Indra also is pure consciousness. And yeah, so Indra, to forget it.
Yes.
The avatars are there. They are different. Yeah. Avatars, the supreme consciousness takes avatar, right? As Bhagavan Krishna, the 10 avatars are there, right? Shri Ram, Parshuram. Yeah, that is.
And the Trinity is different. Trinity of like
the Trinity is the supreme consciousness alone. It is like this. The one who is when it is in the form, when it is create, when the supreme consciousness, when the creation is in progress, it is known as Brahmaji. These words have come from the Puranas. Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, and all is Purana. This is not Vedas. Huh? There is no Brahmaji in Veda. No.
Okay.
No. Ram and Krishna and nobody is there in Vedas. When you study Upanishads, you'll know that. But as the creator, he's known as Brahma. As the sustainer, he's known as Vishnu. And as the destroyer, he's known as Shiva. And then these are deities that we can pray to. It's easy. Sagun Sakar, that is the Sagun Sakar Upasana that we studied in chapter 12. This is Nirgun. To understand this verse to its complete, in its totality, is Nirgun Nirakar Upasana. Okay. That's why Bhagwan said in chapter 12 that Nirgun Nirakar is not very easy.
Yeah. Okay, another thing you said that from standpoint of when we talk about the ghost and the ghost or snake and the
snake
rope.
And rope, same.
So from the point of a rope, there is no snake.
No.
So same goes from the point of snake, there is no rope.
There's no snake.
There is no snake only, so who will think that there is rope or not rope?
But when we have a concept of snake,
I have the concept of snake and I am afraid of the snake.
Yeah. But what about the snake itself?
It's not there only, no? Snake is not there only.
Okay. We imagine it.
I say that there is a snake.
That's why we are saying that I say that there is a creation and I am the one saying that, oh, I am enjoying and I'm everything. I am only saying there is nothing out there.
Okay. It's all my imagination, all my perception.
So the way to get out of this imagination is to surrender to the feet of the Lord, because it is his maya. That's why he said, mama maya durattaya. My maya is very difficult to cross over, and you can cross over it by surrendering to me. And Gurudev is to give the example of all the fishes, the little fishes, if they stay close to the feet of the fisherman, they will not get caught in the maya. And Gurudev is to say that we are like that little fish. We should hold on to the feet of Narayana or the Lord. Okay, because when we say feet, then pure consciousness does not have any feet. It is Sagun Sakar. Okay, so we hold on to the feet and we won't get caught in this maya of sansar.
Jayaji, I would like to know what is the pot maker and the clay.
Who said this? Who's talking?
This is Manju Sharma.
Okay. Where are
can you see me?
Manju Sharma? No.
What? Yeah.
Oh, Rajendra Sharma. Okay. Yeah. The name is coming, Rajendra. That's why I thought. Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Sorry for that, but this is Manju Sharma. I would like to know how the pot maker and the clay. You explained the pot maker makes the pot.
Yeah.
I want to know that one. He creates the pot,
no?
Yeah.
Pot maker creates a pot from clay, right?
Yeah.
So in our normal creation, we have to have two things. Actually, we have to have three things. So one is the efficient cause, which is the knowledge principle.
Oh, okay.
Then this pot maker has to have clay, which is the material.
Material, okay.
Right. And of course, then the third thing is the instrumental cause also is there, which is the wheel.
Instrument is what?
The wheel.
Wheel. There, right? Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. But here we can just do material and efficient cause because we... Is this was clear?
Yeah,
Jim,
this is...
I hope I've done justice. Yes, Nitya. One sec, Madhuri, Nitya.
We were just talking, so there's a doubt here. So when I sleep and I dream, the only way that I can get rid of the fears and the worries and everything that I'm experiencing in the dream is to wake up.
Yes.
Right? So the same way, this life that I am living with repeated births and deaths, the only way I'm able to be free of it is by waking up with the knowledge that this is all an illusion, it's a dream, correct?
Yes.
So now he's saying, why in the beginning, why did this even start? Why should this delusion happen? And I said, from all that I have learned so far, that kind of inquiry is pointless. Doesn't take you anywhere because you're here. The guru has shown you the path out and you take it.
Yes.
I think that doesn't satisfy the curiosity. That's all.
No. So your question is, why did this begin? What is your question?
Yes. It's not even begin, because I know that itself is why even this ignorance exists
Why does ignorance exist? See, ignorance is, what is ignorance? Define ignorance.
Lack of knowledge. That's what
absence of knowledge. Right. So ignorance also is an entity. Okay. And it is only an absence of knowledge. So there is knowledge, and if the absence is there, it is ignorance. So ignorance is also beginningless. That's why prakriti or maya is ignorance. And it is avidya, which is defined. So there are five things which are beginningless. There is no point asking why it is there. The very fact that birth has happened is telling me that it is there. The very fact that I think that the world is real, there is ignorance. And like Nitya said, we know it is there. Instead of saying why is fire hot, you inquire into how you can use that heat of the fire.
Okay.
in which way you can use it, in which way you can protect yourself from it, how close if you go, you will get burned, how far if you stay, all those inquiries are valid. So instead of saying why there is ignorance, accept the fact that there is ignorance and try to get out of it.
Okay, can I rephrase my question then?
Okay.
How can an absence of knowledge come from something that is all knowing? That is something that I don't understand.
Exactly. But that's why we said that all knowing principle alone is there. There is nothing else. There is nothing else. And if you see that it is an illusion, it's like a magician doing a magic show. When he pulls a rabbit out of a hat, do you think that rabbit was, did it come out of nothing? Or when he pulls a coin out of his ear, you think that coin was not there already? Somewhere in his sleeve or in his hidden somewhere? Right? Illusion. It is an illusion. The creation is an illusion. That's why we don't say it is not there. If I say it is absolutely not there, you cannot experience something which is not there. From consciousness, you're saying from consciousness, how come this creation has come? Is that it? You're saying that, right?
Yeah, because from the point of consciousness, we know that creation never
existed. Correct.
Existed in the first place.
Nope.
So, nope. And so, I just have a hard time understanding how that second illusion perspective ever came to be. If it hasn't ever existed, does that make sense?
We don't say it has not existed. That is why you have to understand the difference between false and mithya. There are two words. False, like I said, what is described in the scriptures, false is horns on a hare, H-A-R-E. False is the son of a barren woman. False is a bow made out of, a bow means, you know, bow and arrow, made out of sky flowers. Okay? But mirage waters is mithya. It is not false. Because the previous things that I enumerated, you can never experience them. There can never be a son of a barren woman. There can never be a sky flower. There can never be horns on a hair. But water that I see when I'm walking in the desert, at one point, it appears very real to me. At one point, it appears. Then when I go closer, I realize it is only sand. And therefore, it is not false. It is mithya. And this world is mithya. It is not false. That's where we have to understand the difference between false and mithya. Okay, mithya is that which at one point it exists and then at a second point it is not existing. And that's why we say dream is mithya. Because while dreaming, everything was very real to me. That dream was very, very real to me. Now that I have woken up, I know that, but I cannot say the dream was not there because at one point in time in my sleep, I did feel scared. I did feel happy. I did feel sad. I cried, whatever I did experience that. And therefore Upanishad says that even this waking world, so-called waking world, is a long dream, dirgha swapna. That is the highest Upanishad, Mandukya. So we are all dreaming, so we think this is all real. That's what Upanishad says. And we have to wake up from this dream. And the waking up is to recognize my own self as that supreme reality. That is the waking up.
Jayaji, this is Rashmi.
Yes.
And who is getting enlightened?
Jiva, the ego. Jivatma is the ego. Getting enlightened means only recognizing that I am not the ego, I am the supreme. It's a recognition. That's why we say Vedanta is a shift in vision. Nothing is going to happen outside. It just recognizes. That's why the mind in meditation, I told you, the mind itself is the supreme reality. Okay, but because there is such a clutter of thoughts, we think it's the mind. And when you calm those thoughts down, what will remain is the supreme reality, because you have to understand the supreme reality is already there. There is nothing to gain it from anywhere else.
Okay, got it.
So Jiva is consciousness plus ignorance is Jiva.
Yeah, you can say that. But right? Consciousness plus ignorance is, yeah, but consciousness plus identification, the Jiva is identified.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. As soon as the Jiva, that's why this discrimination, this Viveka that he talked about, Sankhya Yoga, if I keep on discriminating, you know, and I'll tell you when it is most useful in the practical way, and I this is how I use it, when I get hurt. I get hurt and immediately I remind myself that what is getting hurt is my ego is getting hurt. I cannot be hurt. And when you recognize that, when you say it in your mind, okay, what is getting, and you, ego is so stupid. I mean, like, it's ridiculous what can hurt you. It hurts you. Sometimes if I don't see two blue check marks on the WhatsApp message that I've sent my son, I'm like hurt. Like, what the, you know, why is he not? So ego is very easily bruised, very easily hurt. At that moment, this knowledge, that is what it makes it brilliant. When we say brilliant knowledge, may this knowledge be brilliant, means at that time, when that hurt is happening, immediately, if I can bring in that, okay, what is hurting is my ego. And if I go on having self-pity, then I'm fattening the ego. So what I do is I say, you're the ego and you're getting hurt and I've got nothing to do with you. So if you want to keep feeling hurt, then you keep feeling hurt. And it dissolves. Use this. Try this, because this method has been given by Raman Maharshi, none other than Bhagwan Raman Maharshi, Nupadesh Sar. So it can't be false. It can't be. But that thought has to come immediately. And that for that thought to come immediately, there is a certain establishment and knowledge that is required. And that is why the weekly satsangs are required.
Jayaji.
Yes.
Comment. In this illusory body, I know you keep saying that this is not me, but we're saying this because we're in this body, but really we're nothing. When we say we're that, we're really not that. That just causes this body to be something. If this body goes, there is nothing. We are not really consciousness. Consciousness is shining through us to make us alive. Like the sunshine shines and it goes everywhere. Consciousness is there everywhere and it causes this body to be alive, this illusory body. But this, when we say, I am not that, we're referring to this body. We're nothing.
No. When I say I'm not that, I am not that body and I'm not that ego, which is hurting.
Yes, but When you become realized, then you just, it's like sugar melt into the water or salt melting. It just dissipates. And so this body goes. And so when we say we're not this, we're that, we're really not, that just causes this to be something.
No, but it doesn't make us nothing. There is consciousness.
Yeah, there is consciousness. But when this body goes, there is nothing. There is nothing.
There is consciousness. What do you mean there is
nothing? Yeah, but we, that's not, when we refer to we are not this, we really, consciousness causes this body to say, you know, give us this intelligence to say, oh, I'm not this. But really, when we expire, let's say you realize
okay, expire in the mean, you're saying for a realized master.
Yes, yes.
Okay. For a realized master, when a person realizes, the ego is, he functions. See, if a realized master speaks, he speaks out because there is ego.
Yeah, but I'm saying
ego, when, identification.
Yeah, but when he goes.
When he goes means when he dies, when the physical yeah. body dies, huh? Yeah. Then he merges, then he doesn't come back.
Yeah, so there's...
Then he doesn't come back as a body. He doesn't take birth as any
yeah,
body.
Yeah, but that that consciousness
yeah.
just melts into the vast in Paramatma.
Okay.
There's no identification. So, you know, like there is no identification yeah. anymore.
Yeah.
So you're not really that. You're just part of this.
Yeah, you are part. You're not part of the con. You are consciousness. You can't yeah, even say you're part of, because there's no parts in consciousness.
Yeah. At this point, that's how the way we look at it.
At this point, when we are not realized,
yeah,
I think that I am the body.
And we refer to ourselves as, oh, we're not this, we're that.
We refer means out of knowledge, we are being told that you are not the body,
yeah.
you are that consciousness. I don't know what you mean.
Well, what I'm saying is when you realize, you're really nothing. You just melt into to pure consciousness. You know, it dissolves.
When you realize...
The body, the illusory body dissolves. And consciousness merges with the total consciousness. There's no identification of this and the, or that.
Yeah, but the individual body at realization, you say dissolves. It doesn't physically dissolve. The body is there.
Yeah.
But I then have come to become established in the fact that I am not the body at realization.
That's when you're alive.
At realization. That yeah. is what realization is. Right now, intellectually, we are saying it.
Intellectually.
Ah.
But.
It's not a realization. But to go towards realization, we need to hammer this intellectual idea within us.
That's fine. Yeah. But I'm saying at this point, we use it as to get there. Because.
Yeah. yeah. That is the means. That's what he said. No, Sankhya Yoga. Discrimination. Constant discrimination between Purusha and Prakriti is required.
Yes, yes, I understand that. But we refer to it as we are not this.
Yeah, we are not this body. We are that consciousness.
This
it's
is
not
what
like
I'm
an onion.
This is what I'm getting at. Because when you realize and you expire, there's nothing, no identification anymore.
Yeah, there's no rebirth.
There's no identification of anything.
No.
So we're not this.
Can I say something, Jayaji?
Yeah.
It's a kind of like, as you have said many times, that when we make the rooms in a space, right? This room is that, this room is that. But once the walls crumble,
yeah,
it's gone.
Yeah, space.
It's same thing. It's same thing with anything else. And that is probably what Upanishads and these Shastras are telling us, to merge with the total thing. And that's the ultimate goal in
yes.
my opinion.
Yes, it is the ultimate goal. But while living, if you cannot disidentify with the body, even at death, you will not be able to disidentify. You will come back into some other body. So while living here and now, we need to get established in the fact that I am not the body. That is the fact. I am not the body. And that's why towards that goal, the practice is to constantly discriminate between the self and the not self.
And the other way to do this is to think that I am the part of the whole.
That is Vishishtadvaita, yeah. You can say, yeah. So, but that's not Advaita.
A part of the whole.
Yeah. But that's Vishishtadvaita. Qualified non-dualism, that is.
Yeah.
That's qualified. We are non-dual. We are non-dualism. Advaita. Okay, we've gone a few minutes over. I hope that all of you have received the email from Dinesh that this Friday there will not be the Vivek Chudamani class. There is a global meeting organized by Swami Swarupananda, the head global head of the mission, and that is at 6:30 Friday evening, which I have to attend. So Friday there will not be a Vivek Chudamani class, and I hope that all whoever is attending Vivek Chudamani has got that email.
I haven't gotten any email.
You have, right?
I haven't.
No, we haven't got it yet. Maybe it came just now only when we were.
No. He sent it yesterday.
It came yesterday or the day before.
Okay. I didn't get it.
Can you please then now pass it? But I'm telling you, this Friday there is no Vivek Chudamani class.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Vivnita, if you can, maybe Dinesh just copied you on it, and then if you can forward it. Yeah. All right. So we will meet next Monday, and we will continue with the verses. Now the verses are easy. Let me tell you. It's not all that deep and all that. So I hope I've done justice to the verse. I hope there are no confusions. Okay, this very important verse it is. Om Swasti Prajabhyav Paripalayantam Nyayena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Go Brahmanebhya Shubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshatu Parjanyaha Prithivi Sasya Shalini Desho Yamkshobarayita Brahmana Santu Nirbhayaha Om Sarvesham Swasti Bhavatu Sarvesham Shantir Bhavatu Sarvesham Purnam Bhavatu Sarvesham Mangalam Bhavatu Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadran Pashantu, Makashit Dukabhag Bhaveto, Masatoma, Sadgamaya, Tamasoma, Jyotir Gamaya, Mrutyorma, Amratam Gamaya, Om Purnamadav, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnameva, Vashishate, Om Shanti, 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 Harihi Om, Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha, Harihi Om. Hari Om, everybody. We'll see you next Monday.
So, Jayaji, just wanted to remind everybody that they sent out the distribution of the verses. And if you haven't submitted to Padmaja, please go ahead and do that.
Yes, please do that.
Because time is running out now.
No, there's still time. I'm not sure. Maybe 2 Mondays I need.
Mm-hmm. 2 Mondays. Nobody will take the verses then.
If not, then I'll make... You take them, so you may as well take them out of your own choice.
Exactly.
Okay. Jayaji.
Yes.
This is Rachna. I just wanted to ask when are we supposed to speak on the verses we have chosen?
What will happen is the way it works is I will complete the text first.
Okay.
So until the text is completed, unless the chapter is completed, nobody speaks. Then the following Monday, after I finish, then we will start with verse 1. So whoever has taken verse 1, 2, 3, or whatever that I have given,
okay,
it will go in line.
Oh, okay.
Right now, I cannot tell you exactly when your number will come. But
whoever
has taken as verse 1 will be day 1 and verse 35 will be last day. But I don't know how many Mondays it will take.
Got it. Thank you, Jayaji.
Let Padmaja is keeping track, so just let her know.
Yeah, no one has taken verses from 1 to 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
They think it's beneath them to take Kshetra.
But you said you need at least 2 weeks more, right?
Oh yeah, I think, for sure.
At least the 3 weeks away.
Yes. Minimum 3. If I can finish next Monday, I'm not really sure. There's still no. I think 2 Mondays. So there's time.
Okay.
Everybody probably picked Kshetranya. I would like to know who is going to pick this 27 verse. Anyway, doesn't matter. Okay.
Abhimanyu will do verse 27. We nominate him.
No. Abhimanyu is going to stay off this time.
No, you're not good. That's not the good sign of a leader. You're the president. If you stay away, then everybody is the president. Why should we do?
Administratively, not in your caliber. No.
Verse number 27, Abhimanyu, or 13 and 14, or whichever one. Those electricity ones.
Well, that's a good example because
when
the stove dies,
then.
Hariom, thank you very much.
Hariom.